Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle.
On this episode,
I was exposed to the tremendous opportunity of these fast-growing economies in the developing world. There was this emphasis on investing in women, investing in young entrepreneurs, investing in technology to revitalize their economies. And I thought, well, if this can work in places like Rwanda or Nigeria, I'm sure that this can also work in the U.S.
Hey there, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle podcast, where we inspire you by talking to entrepreneurs and business owners about mindset, goals, vision, tips and strategies on how to crush life and business. I am your host, Eric Cabral, real estate investor and a creative. I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years, got my start in New York City as a junior art director, and made my way up the corporate ladder to become the creative director at the number one pharma company in the world. That was until I decided to hang up my corporate hat and start my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using social media and live stream events. Hit us up at info@onairbrands.com to learn more. Also, like, subscribe, and share this podcast on social. We greatly appreciate you for it. And also, don't hesitate to send us any feedback that you may have, because we always love, love, love hearing from you. Before we jump into the show, I'd like to share what some of our sponsors, partners, and friends of the show have to offer you.
Hello, this is Josh McCallan, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out, and the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands, creative agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.
So we are back, folks. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. We're at a special event here called Podcast Row in New York City's world famous stand-up New York, owned and run by my buddy Donnie Zolden, James Altucher. If you want to hear their episodes, James' episode is episode 50 on Entrepreneur Circle. And I believe Donnie was on episode 21. So take a look at that and listen to their story as well. Really interesting stuff. So today we are here with Bianca Caban.
Yes.
And she is an amazing individual that I got to do a deep dive on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to jump in, because there's so much that's been happening to you lately that I want to be able to sort of cover it. And you know, you stop me along the way if there's things that I'm missing. But let me tee it up for the listeners at home and driving in their cars. Bianca Caban is currently the head of partnerships at Republic. And she is now the managing director of SheWorks, which is really exciting. Congratulations on that acquisition.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So folks, let me give you a quick little primer, and please correct me if I say anything incorrect here. Republic is a leading equity crowdfunding platform, and they recently acquired
a month ago,
they acquired SheWorks. And what SheWorks is, you know, I'll let you, but I have my notes here, but I want you to explain what SheWorks is for the audience.
Sure. So SheWorks is a global female founder community. About 20,000 plus female founders around the world are part of it. And it's essentially a events platform and community where Lisa Wang, who's the founder over the past few years, has cultivated and both online and offline ecosystem for female founders to get knowledge and make connections in order for them to grow their businesses. And she had run the business with two signature kind of events. One is the SheWorks signature breakfast roundtable, where she essentially curates one kind of guest speaker, mentor, who's either an investor or an entrepreneur with an amazing track record, to speak to about 30 female founders over breakfast about a various topic that investor or founder is an expert in, and does this and will continue to do this on a monthly basis in various cities. So our key cities are San Francisco, New York, and LA. We'll look to expand, but that's kind of the core of SheWorks.
Yeah, awesome. So I want to give people a primer so they, you know, the majority of the listeners are entrepreneurs, but they're not necessarily in the VC or the fundraising space. So Let's explain to the folks what Republic does, you know, from that sort of ground level for people who don't know anything about it. What will you explain at the barbecue with your family?
Sure.
And then we'll go from there, and then we'll talk about the partnership and how it made perfect sense for you guys to acquire them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Republic is essentially what most people know us as, is an equity crowdfunding platform. And so what that means is people may have heard of, you know, Kickstarter with rewards-based crowdfunding or Indiegogo. Republic and sort of platforms like Republic essentially host crowdfunding campaigns similar to a Kickstarter or Indiegogo. But the backers of those campaigns into projects are actually receiving the promise of future equity ownership in that business instead of like a t-shirt or a product at a discount or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like investing for everybody, for the masses, kind of like a private stock market. And so the implications for investors are anyone now, regardless of their net worth or accreditation status, can invest in startups online through compliant portals like Republic. And so when I say, so accreditation, meaning before you had to be accredited, you had to have either $1 million in net worth or make $250K in your household for two consecutive years in order to qualify as accredited to invest in startups on platforms like AngelList or even offline to invest in a private company. And so now in 2016, a law was passed that allows everyone to invest in startups. So that's what we do. We host investment campaigns for startups, and investors on our platform can get equity in startups or future equity through a security called the SAFE, Simple Agreement for Future Equity. And founders can now raise from their customers, their users, their friends and family, regardless of their accreditation status. So that's the kind of exciting opportunity with Republic.
Yeah. So I'm from the real estate investing space, so it can get very, very complex and daunting to make sure, you know, you're following SEC rules and, you know, making sure that whoever you're pulling into the investment or the project is either accredited or sophisticated or a ton of other, you know, sort of things that you have to just make sure you're following so that, you know, we're not wearing a yellow jumpsuit in a few months. But yeah, I love that you have a platform that allows everyone and anyone to jump in as an investor. And what's so cool about it is the fact that they can become equity owners,
right?
And not necessarily have to be a millionaire or a billionaire, right? So it's very, very, very cool that you're actually giving people that opportunity. So so tell us a little bit more about the process. Well, you know what? Usually we're breaking a little bit from format here.
Okay.
So I want to talk about you for a second. And then we can go back to SheWorks, because I want the audience to know and love you, and then they'll understand everything that you do from a business standpoint. So what was the early entrepreneurial days for Bianca? Like, how did you get it? You know, how did you move away from corporate America and start becoming, you know, an owner or business, you know, owner?
Sure. Yeah. So as you kind of alluded to, I started my career on Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And was at a couple of larger companies, including Credit Suisse and BlackRock. And then I went on to work at a merchant bank called Atlas Merchant Capital and worked on launching one of their first investment vehicles, which invested in companies, specifically banks, in sub-Saharan Africa. And so that was kind of a pivotal moment in my career where I was exposed to the tremendous opportunity like economic opportunity of these fast-growing economies in the developing world, such as sub-Saharan Africa. And I was really inspired because what I saw when I traveled there and when I talked to entrepreneurs there and sort of heard from heads of state, there was this emphasis on investing in women, investing in young entrepreneurs, investing in technology to revitalize their economies and to grow their economies. And I thought, well, if this can work in places like Rwanda or Nigeria, I'm sure that this can also work in, you know, cities in the US, like, you know, I'm from New York City, for example, born and raised in the Bronx, or Detroit, or Columbus, Ohio. These strategies of investing in entrepreneurs, investing in women are really, I think, exciting. So I started a couple of entrepreneurial endeavors after my stint on Wall Street. One of them was a consultancy where I was connecting capital, because that's something else that I had saw in my work, was the power of capital and how it can really transform economies if invested in the right projects, and how there's potential for job creation and wealth generation. So I wanted to connect capital to Puerto Rico, where my grandparents are from. And so I started a consultancy kind of connecting the dots, trying to attract investors to Puerto Rico, and then also started a nonprofit business accelerator for women-owned businesses in Puerto Rico called Access Latina. And these projects really made me understand how excited I was to delve into tech and investing to back these founders that were building amazing companies, but maybe didn't have access to capital.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where my journey started.
I love all that. No, and I just wanted to add to what you're saying here for the left-brainers out there that love statistics. So women receive less than 2.2% of VC funding. I mean, that's just a travesty to me. I mean, there's brilliant, brilliant minds. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. And it's just unfortunate that they only receive 2.2%. And then also women outperform men by 30% in crowdfunding. So once they've received the funds, I mean, all day long as an investor myself, 30%. I mean, yeah, I'll do that, you know, all day.
Right.
So good for you for recognizing that space and filling it and making sure that there's a need and a solution for women out there who have brilliant ideas, but just don't have the backing and the support that they need. So you have such an amazing resume as far as your global experience and all the things that you've created. So is Access Latina still operational?
So it is to a certain extent. So the two co-founders are still based in San Juan, Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and they've continued doing work in this space around. So one founder has launched a larger conference for entrepreneurial women in Puerto Rico, but it's also more broadly around women's female empowerment. Mm-hmm. And so that's called Animus. And that was she launched that kind of simultaneous to Access Latina. So it's built in the same, with the same mission and values in mind. And I think one way to really service that ecosystem is through putting them in front of role models through this kind of summit. So she's had Justice Sotomayor come down to speak there. Back when I was working with her on Access Latina, we brought down at the time the editor of Cosmo Latina. So this kind of access to role models is something that I think is how Access Latina continues. But in terms of the core accelerator, it has folded into other accelerators down in San Juan. And I would say one interesting, and this is kind of what spurred me into tech, was I realized the limitation of the nonprofit model as it related to an accelerator like that, only because our ability to have massive impact at scale was constrained by our ability to raise grant money. And that in and of itself, when you're starting out, is you're trying to focus on the actual founders and adding quality opportunities and education for them. But, and then also you have to simultaneously raise capital as a nonprofit. There's not a sustainable business model there. Mm-hmm. So that's actually what spurred me in large part to go to business school to say, okay, I want to double down on understanding models around social entrepreneurship. How can you build a sustainable business, but also do good? How can you do both? Mm-hmm. So I went to Columbia Business School and took classes at the Tamer Center for Social Entrepreneurship and really delved into that. And that's what led me into this idea of tech as being a force for good. And I learned about Republic because a mentor of mine who was a client back when I had my consultancy, Kamal Ravikant, recommended I meet Ken Wen, our CEO, who and Kamal had invested in Ken in Republic. And he said, I think you'll love meeting Ken because he's so mission driven, but he's building an incredible technology platform that is just going to crush it. So I thought, this is exactly the kind of thing I want to get involved with, to be able to build and have that impact at scale using technology. So that's what really attracted me to Republic and why I think in a lot of ways Access Latina doesn't exist to this day, because of the fact that it just wasn't sustainable.
Mm, okay. So how long have you been with Republic now?
It's been about 18 months.
Okay. 18 months. I'm sure it's been like
a crazy journey. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure. It's so exciting.
Yes.
So how heavily were you involved, or were you the key principal to sort of drive the SheWorks acquisition? Was that
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So yes, I was very involved because in a lot of ways, first of all, I feel humbled that Lisa Wang, our founder, has kind of entrusted her community in my hands and kind of has confidence in my stewardship and ability to lead this community. Because in a lot of ways, this community is heavily a result of its founders, the people that are at the helm are very much tied to the success of the community. So when Lisa was thinking about moving on to work on her next business and selling SheWorks, she had, you know, met Ken, our CEO, at, I believe they met at a Startup Grind event in San Francisco or New York, and had stayed in touch. They got along really well. They hit it off. But when she was thinking of kind of next steps, she kind of approached him with this idea that Republic would take over SheWorks for a few reasons, but also because she and I had done work together in the past because I was leading partnerships at Republic, and she and I had done events together and content. We co-created stuff together at when I was purely at Republic, and she said, I think Bianca has what it takes to lead this community. And that, when I heard that, I was obviously really humbled again that she, you know, recognized me as a leader in that way for this community. So I feel lucky that our ability to take on this community is in large part because we have, you know, basically the team to take it over. So obviously myself, Ken, and a number of amazing people at Republic are going to be kind of running the community from now on. But I think Lisa recognized the team first and foremost in kind of where she wanted the home. And then I have been, you know, quite involved in thinking through the strategy of how this will integrate into Republic's current business model and ecosystem. So closely involved with Ken, our CEO, on the business strategy, what will continue, and how this all relates to what we're doing at Republic. So I've been kind of intimately involved. And so again, at Republic, I'm now going to be leading SheWorks moving forward. So I'm sure the strategy will change, but yeah.
Yeah, so right now you're going to shepherd that brand and
exactly.
That community. So what happens to all the stuff you were doing prior? Are you still doing it, or are you going to pass the baton to someone or just have a whole team sort of?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll continue doing a lot of the work that I was doing, which was around building and maintaining relationships with external partners. So to focus on deal flow. So to build relationships with VCs, mm-hmm. top accelerators, ecosystem builders around the country, really. And with the intention of trying to find the top tech deals out there. So we get about, 25% of our deal flow from our partners. So I'll continue that work in terms of managing the relationships that we've built with partners and continuing to do that work. But in a lot of ways, the SheWorks community is very synergistic with my efforts before. So it's a lot of creating that content for founders. So we did a really cool event called Republic Academy in Q1, where we did kind of a mini accelerator, a three-day accelerator for founders in New York City. And we pulled together experts in various arenas to do like basically TED Talk-like sessions. We did pitch reviews. We did a lot of practice around pitching for founders and all that great stuff. So a lot of that work will continue through the SheWorks brand, where obviously it's focused on women, but this idea that we want to continue putting together content and events and education for founders that could potentially be a pipeline to raise on Republic. So it's all kind of synergistic and pipeline building for us. And for us with the SheWorks acquisition, it was also an opportunity to continue building our pipeline of female founders, because even before SheWorks, Republic, we took a look at our numbers last year, and over 40% of the capital on our platform to date had gone to a company with a female founder.
Wow.
And that's versus, you quoted 2%. That one's for a female CEO. Mm. And then there's the 12% number, which is for a team with a female founder. So okay. It can be, you know, two genders. But
gotcha.
So yeah, you're exactly right. And so the bottom line is that SheWorks provided us an opportunity to, with intention, continue building that pipeline of founders that can raise with us. So that's another reason why we acquired the brand and the community.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, were they the only one in the running? Were you looking at other companies to acquire, or still looking for, you know, that have that sort of shape and model?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that at the end of the day, right, what Kent's vision is to build an ecosystem for Republic. So we're most known, or I guess if you kind of asked someone about our brand kind of high level, they probably would talk about equity crowdfunding. But we're so much more than that in terms of our ecosystem. We obviously have now acquired SheWorks, which is a female founder community and global events platform, which is synergistic. We have an institutional investing arm called Republic Labs that does syndicates on behalf of founders that are raising a Series A, so and connects them to our family office investors and helps them fill their round. So we have an institutional investing arm. We also have securities for blockchain projects. So we have a whole part of our business called Republic Crypto, where we've done pre-token sales compliantly on our platform for blockchain projects that are looking to do an ICO. They can raise seed capital right at Republic from their potential users and future users and current users. So we're building an ecosystem for fundraising from kind of A to Z for founders along their fundraising journey. We've covered like pre-seed all the way through beyond, you know, Series A to Series B. So we want to continue creating that ecosystem. So to the extent that, to answer your question, if they're, you know, I think our CEO is definitely visionary and opportunistic. If he feels like there's a component that he sees that could be additive to the ecosystem we're building, that's kind of aiming to help founders along the way throughout their fundraising journey, then I think, I'm sure, you know, I can't speak for him, but I think based on his track record, he is willing to consider really innovative and creative ways of building our ecosystem.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You're tech heavy, right? Founded pretty much foundation on tech.
Yep.
So what are some of the sort of experiences or from an investor standpoint that wants to become an equity partner in any one of the businesses in your portfolio, what does that look like? How do they gain access?
Sure. So we have a platform, as you said, it's republic.co, and investors, so anyone who's listening or folks that might be interested can go and take a look at the startups that are currently raising. And to kind of explain the exact mechanism, we use a security called the CrowdSafe. It's the simple agreement for future equity that came out of Y Combinator, which is it's a simple contract tailored for early investors and angels, where there's no valuation that needs to be set because it's not you know, an institutional round. It's kind of more friends and family and early angels, and so it has a valuation cap and a discount, which is, those are two attributes of the safe that we also have with our CrowdSafe, where those investors that invest kind of early on have dilution protection. So typically our valuation caps, the cap at which they'll convert to equity in the future, are between 5 and 7 million. And they'll convert at a discount to the valuation at you know, a liquidity event, which is 20% typically, which is industry standard. And so I say that to say that these are just protections in place to prevent against dilution for those early believers in your company. And so we've taken those over from the Y Combinator safe. And again, this is a simple agreement for future equity. So as an investor in a Republic campaign, you're not yet an equity holder, because you will become an equity holder if and when there's a liquidity event. And that's sort of similar to any other early stage investment security, such as a convertible note or I think there's this KISS. I forget what it stands for. I think it's like another similar kind of note.
Yeah.
Essentially the idea is that you're not yet an equity holder, but you have a promise for future equity when there's like a trigger. And typically that's for a normal kind of safe, it's at the next priced round. So if you are, you know, raising you're raising it via a safe, like let's say a Y Combinator safe, and then typically those investors in that safe convert to equity when there's an institutional round where a VC investor will assign a valuation to the company. But the reason why these securities are useful is that it takes a lot of legal, a lot of negotiation, a lot of cost to assign a valuation. So it's the future equity. Mm-hmm. But the idea is you would invest and you have an opportunity to participate in the journey of a founder you believe in. Having said that, the founder doesn't owe any sort of information or voting, or it doesn't give you information or voting rights investing with this via this crowd safe. So that's something to keep in mind. Having said that, a lot of our founders make a choice and to update their Republic investors along the journey because they want to engage you in product testing and different ideas and sourcing expertise. And that's the benefit of raising from the crowd. You have this all of a sudden group of supercharged users.
Yeah.
From the founder perspective, one thing to note about the crowd safe is it rolls up into one line item on your cap table. So you're not going to have hundreds of people on your cap table. It's just one line item that's called the Republic crowd safe. And so the fact that we roll up into one line item and don't convert to equity until there's a liquidity event helps the founder maintain a clean balance sheet all the way through the end, hopefully to an exit. And that's kind of the goal. And that's when everyone realizes their return anyway at that liquidity event.
Beautiful. Yeah. So what's your typical, investor sort of pool when it goes? I mean, I'm sure it varies from business to business, but what's your typical
Yes, we can sort of estimate that around 25% of our investors tend to be traditional kind of accredited investors. Mm-hmm. Angels that are sort of either semi-professional or maybe they're, the doctor in Milwaukee that was looking to diversify his or her investment portfolio into more risky asset class. So they're kind of traditional angel investors that are looking for a return. I would say the rest of our user base is split between probably the passionate and loyal users of the companies that have raised with us who then stay on because they're so excited and they continue investing in other projects, as well as, and then the other portion is sort of the excited and engaged millennial who is looking to back exciting projects around them to participate in technology and who is, using things like, who maybe is not convinced of the stock market. They're using things like Robinhood or all those kind of innovative fintech apps. They're using robo-advisors. They want to be in control of their own kind of asset management and use technology to do so. So that's kind of our, about a third of our core user base as well is folks that are looking for interesting investment opportunities and looking for also to back founders that they believe in. Yeah. So again, they're still looking for a return, but they're also looking to back really innovative technologies and just meet founders that potentially, if this isn't the company that gets them an exit, maybe it's the next one. But they've discovered those founders on our platform.
Awesome. So I know you've been there for about 18 months. Has there been since your time or even that you've heard of prior to you arriving, great case studies for people that invested early on and trusted and then believed in the founder and Republic. And then, boom, they went IPO or they went something big and, had that moment where like, oh, this is worth all the scary, risky stuff.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I would say is that we're early days. As we all know, it can take 5 to 10 years to experience, to realize a liquidity event after investing in a early stage startup and investing in an early stage startup is risky. There's a high chance you'll lose all of your investment. And so that's why there are protections in place and we're SEC registered and FINRA licensed. And so we are in a compliant portal and we make sure that everyone is aware of the risks. Having said that, so we have had early days, a couple of liquidity events, one of which was a debt raise actually, where, as I mentioned, we're more than equity crowdfunding. Obviously, that's the easiest way to kind of understand what we do, but we also have debt instruments. We do pre-token sales. So with this particular debt raise, the founder said, within the contract, it was the promise of delivering 1.5x the investment that our investors put in into the deal within a certain time frame. I forget. But actually, within 2 or 3 weeks of closing the campaign, they actually gave their investors their principal back plus, you know, 0.5 or whatever. So basically their principals, sorry, their investors received 1.5x their investment right off the bat. So that's one liquidity event, but that was a debt deal, right?
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit different
yeah.
than equity. And then we also had a company which did a pre-token sale with us. Mm-hmm. And so with the pre-token sale, essentially it's kind of another debt instrument. It's called, we use a security called the token DPA, mm-hmm. debt payable by assets. And it's essentially an IOU that says, for your investment, when I issue my coin, I will deliver you a coin in exchange for the investment that you've given me. And so we actually had one of our blockchain projects issue their coin to our public investors after they had raised the pre-token sale. Okay. So those are a couple liquidity events. And interesting, one was in debt, one was in the blockchain space, which both happened much more quickly than equity in terms of the journey of realizing your return.
Right.
But I would say also one thing I would point to in terms of what you're talking about, which I think goes into returns, but it also goes into liquidity, mm-hmm. is we're exploring an opportunity to essentially, you know, our intention is to, or our goal is to tokenize our platform, whereby right now we have a product called the Republic Note. So users in our ecosystem can actually earn notes, which is essentially a digital asset for performing certain actions, referring a startup, completing their investor profile, referring another user to our platform. You can earn notes along the way. Mm. So if you look at republic.co/note, you can kind of check it out. And what our vision is for this note, this digital asset to be, our vision is for it to be tied to our revenue streams in the future. So we own 2% of equity in all startups that have raised with us. And so our idea and our vision is to tie those together. So we have a team of amazing securities lawyers. It's a very long and arduous process to kind of do a coin offering ourselves as a platform. But that's something that we're envisioning as part of our ecosystem, because then this kind of ownership, first of all, it's kind of like an index. You kind of own and you can participate in the upside of Republic as a platform, because mm-hmm. you own a piece of every company that's raising and will raise.
Very cool.
But also the idea is that you can kind of sell your ownership interest in different startups before you realize your return. So you don't have to wait 10 years.
Yeah.
You can sell your interest in one startup and buy an interest in another one, leveraging the blockchain. That's what our vision is, because that'll give you that liquidity and your opinion might change. You might say, actually, I want to invest in another startup, but my money's tied up.
Yeah.
So that's our vision in terms of what Republic can be as an ecosystem, is one where there's liquidity, there's ability to, you know, invest in startups and continue investing in a more of an evergreen capacity to mm-hmm. participate with us in our upside as a company to platform. And that's where we're really going. That's kind of the vision and future of Republic.
Yeah, I like all that. That's beautiful stuff. A lot of people, you know, you may have to listen to this episode more than once to absorb all the content. No, hey, it's a lot of really good information and a lot of stuff where people can, you know, take a deeper dive by going to republic.co.
Yes.
And also sheworks.com. That's works with an X, WORX. But yeah, folks, thank you so much, Bianca Caban from Republic and also now from SheWorks. Congratulations again on your acquisition.
So thank you, Eric.
And thank you for the deep dive into your space. I'm sure the audience and everyone's going to appreciate everything that you've given. So thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. We can be back anytime.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.